You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. WPTF Talk Radio, we are disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast, available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. And folks, we've got a really exciting program for you today. Raleigh-based writer, TV producer, and marketing executive, among other things, Mr. Billy Wharton is with us here in the studio to talk about his adventures doing different exciting things and sharing his experiences with you through various formats. But before we get to Billy, ladies and gentlemen, as always, I am joined here in the studio by my partner in crime, esteemed production engineer, Mr. Jason Kong. Jason, how are you, sir?
Mike, I'm great. I appreciate the nice introduction, and I appreciate you playing a little hurt today, you know, as we say in the business.
Thank you for saying that, because, you know, I garbled up a couple of words there on that intro. And the reason is, folks, is no, not hungover. no, I'm not cotton mouth. I am had a little bit of a trip to the dental surgeon yesterday, Jason, as I mentioned. You know, as you get older, you run into different experiences for the first time. And this was a new experience for me, getting a dental bone graft on my lower right section there, one of my molars. And I was told, you know, come in, you know, it's about an hour in and out, pretty simple procedure, recovery's a couple of days, you know, a little bit of pain, a little bit of swelling, no problem. Man, I have to say, I'm doing much better than I was yesterday, Jason, but wow, yeah, I feel like Mike Tyson, you know, asked me to turn my face to the left and, you know, wound up to see if he still had it, you know, in one of his famous punches. No, I'm a little, you know, worn out for sure, but doing my best here. And I definitely did not want to postpone our interview today with Billy Wharton because I have to say, he, from what I know of him, and we're going to learn more about him when we talk to him today, he's a man of adventure. And before we get to Billy, though, Jason, as you know, I like to share with our radio audience, some of my little adventures that I run into from time to time. And I had a really great one this past Labor Day weekend. Went out to Nashville for a couple of days. My son is, as you know, really into music, and so are his friends. And Green Day is doing a 20th anniversary tour for one of their records. And they're touring with Smashing Pumpkins, another really big band, you know, from the 90s. And they were playing Charlotte, but they're also playing Nashville. And that was right on the Friday of Labor Day weekend. And so we joined some of his friends and their parents for a road trip out to Nashville, got an Airbnb for the weekend. And what a time we had. The show was great. Green Day was excellent. Played a little too long, but I guess we got our money's worth. We can say that because we were like, all right, what time is it already? And it was just really great to experience the downtown of the city of Nashville in a way I hadn't before. I'd been there before a couple of times, but hadn't gone through with the open-mindedness that I have now as somebody who's a little bit older. Last time I was there, I was in my 20s, I think. And I really never liked country music. I appreciate it much more now. You know, you just appreciate good things in whatever form they come. And just great music. And we were walking around, a beautiful day, and it was amazing to me, all these honky-tonks. And my son's excited, I'm excited, his friends are excited, the energy is so high up in the air. And, you know, I said to him, right now, buddy, there are probably 50 shows going on at the same time on this strip. Because you have some of these multi-layer bars, you got multiple bands playing the same venue at the same time. It's pretty awesome. I was warned, though, to make sure that if I'm going there with the kids, to get out of there by the time the sun goes down. And they were right, because just at the time as we were wrapping up, things really started to get a little wild there. I was definitely feeling a little bit like Dodge City. And yeah, definitely reminded me of Times Square, you know, in a typical Saturday night, trying to get through with all of the crowds and the energy way up. But what a great time that was, just to get in there again, to do something off the path, out of the norm, to do together as a family with my kids and some of their friends and their families. Got some great food, some really good music, and a great show with Green Day and Smashing Pumpkins. So I'm kind of still riding off of that high despite my recent dental surgery, Jason. But speaking of adventure, Jason, and I have to add, I have two goals with this show. Number one is to get through without aggravating my jaw here. And the other is to try to get in as much as we can with our guest, Billy Warden, because I have a feeling that when this is over, we're going to say, wow, we could go on easily for a full hour or more talking with him. Jason, I've always been attracted to people like Anthony Bourdain, you know, Parts sure. Unknown, traveling the world, experiencing food and music and culture. Another recent favorite of mine is this guy on YouTube, Peter Santinello, who does traveling and just talks with people, runs around with a GoPro and talks to people. Pretty fascinating stories, just learning about different communities within America. And I always wondered what that lifestyle must be like. What is it like for people who are in that world, who are actually paid to go out and connect with people and experience different things and share their experience, whether it's through the written word or through the spoken word or through a, you know, produced video or what have you. Our guest, Billy Warden, I think has done all of that and then some, because he also creates music as well. He's based here in Raleigh. He's a writer, a TV producer, a marketing executive. He's a two-time TEDx speaker and longtime singer of the glam rock band, The Floating Children. His work has been recognized with a Muse Creative Award, Telly Awards, and a regional Emmy nomination. So we've got quite the guest with us today, Mr. Billy Warden. Billy, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Gosh, what a fantastic introduction. Thanks for the generous introduction. I always hate that regional Emmy. And then it sounds like, oh, he won an Emmy. It's like, it was just a nomination. I didn't quite get there.
That's all right.
But I'm going for it. I'm gonna get that Emmy. And I was so delighted to hear your Nashville story, because my wife and I were just there.
Really?
We were just there, and we stayed across from the stadium. Mm-hmm. And I was in the gym at the Four Seasons, so it was pretty fancy. Mm-hmm. And I was in the gym there, and there's some guys working out that I thought, I kind of recognize those guys, but I don't know anybody in Nashville. And so I asked somebody, do you recognize them? And they said, yeah, they just played over at the stadium last night. It was Def Leppard. It was members of Def Leppard
really?
In the gym, keeping fit. They had just played at the stadium, and then they were hanging out. So that was a lot of fun.
That is awesome. Are you going to be writing about that? Maybe. Maybe. Well, you've just told us about it briefly. So, Billy, we've just met, but I've gotten the sense from you that you have the life that I think a lot of people wish they had. You get to travel, experience different people and places, food, culture, entertainment, and you get to tell your story. So please give us, before we get to that, give us a bit of your background. How did you get on this path to do that type of work?
I was really lucky to get on that path. Mm-hmm. I went to Carolina and majored in radio, television, motion pictures, and speech communications. But I was always loved to write. And so getting out of school, I definitely wasn't polished enough to go into radio or TV, but I could write. And so I became a features writer for the News and Observer. And that was a fantastic job out of college, because here you are, this punk kid, and you can call anybody and they'll either want to talk to you, or if they don't want to talk to you, they'll still feel obligated to have some sort of exchange. Like, it was a passport to the world. It was amazing. This is my favorite job of all time. Then my editor at the News and Observer, Marion Gregory, who some will remember, she was like a chain-smoking, classic kind of a journalist. And she said, it seems like you're really into entertainment. I don't know how far you're going to be able to take this in Raleigh. Why don't you go to Los Angeles? In other words, my editor said, go across the country, please. Just go. And so I said, that's Marion, you're always smart. And once again, I think you've hit it. So my wife and I packed up and went to L.A. And in L.A., I became an executive producer at E! Entertainment Networks, right? And at that time, we were doing True Hollywood Story and Talk Soup and all the—
Oh, two great— I have to interrupt.
They're just fantastic.
Two great shows, I have to say. I missed
those. Thank you. They were great. That was a fantastic, scrappy team at the time before— cable became super consolidated. So it was all like this pirate ship of, God, we have a whole national channel we can do stuff with. We made up shows. Joan Rivers was there at the time doing her red carpet specials. What are you wearing? Oh, God. And so I became one of Joan's producers, and we were out there until 2000. Then we started having kids, and L.A. just wasn't the place to raise kids for us. All the parents and stuff are back here in Raleigh. So I come back to Raleigh. Raleigh doesn't have any opportunities really for red carpet producers. It just, just doesn't exist, the industry here. So so I went into marketing and public relations and have had a wonderful career that way. But then during the pandemic, I got scared that like the world was ending. Probably a lot of people had that feeling. Right? I thought, God, it's all going to be over. And I really miss exploring the world and doing what I did when I was a features writer. I wanted that passport to the world back. And so I found a story that kind of unlocked all of that.
Excellent. Wow, what a story. I do like your candor when you talk about this career here, the News and Observer, and they're like, go to California. Go to L.A. They're going to love you. And to have that career beginning there with E is fantastic. All right, I'm really excited to continue this conversation after the commercial break. We've been speaking with Billy Warden. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, that we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, or a recommendation for a future topic or guest, please send us an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Billy Warden. He is a feature writer, among other things, I should say, based here in Raleigh, but has done some work across the country. Billy, I want to talk to you a little bit about the process of your profession. How does it work? Being a feature writer, do you kind of come up with your own ideas to go out and do it and then like pitch it to a publication? Or do they have the ideas and come to you and ask you to go do it? Is it a mix of both? Give us a little peek into how that world works.
When I came back into it, probably 6 years or so ago, the whole journalism field had changed. There's been a lot of erosion in the field. There's not as much money in the field. And there's still a lot of people who want it, who want that passport to the world. So it's very competitive. And you have to drum up your own stories and then figure out how to pitch them, who to pitch them to, in a way that's like an editor can't say no to. A lot of times editors want to say no because, okay, a freelance writer is going to hit their freelance budget in a certain way, and they've got other stuff to take care of, and they want to say no in a way. So you've got to give them something like, the world needs this story. And for me, the two entry points were I lucked out, and a guy in the construction business told me about a basement he had been working in that where he had found all these amazing documents that seemed to be related to every soul and rock and roll singer and jazz performer you can imagine from the 30s to the 70s. And it turns out that basement belonged to Joe Winters, who was one of Raleigh's first black cops. And he was a cop during the Jim Crow era while he was a concert promoter and bringing Nat King Cole and James Brown and Chuck Berry to play in downtown Raleigh, and eventually got involved in breaking the color line in Raleigh. That's an amazing story. Mm-hmm. So, there's celebrities and there's history. And so I was fortunate to pitch that to Our State magazine, and they were like, yeah, that story, the world needs to see that story, and then opened up a relationship with Our State. The other story was during the pandemic, feeling like the world is ending, scrolling through the internet, and everybody was doom scrolling at the time, like, what's the worst news I could hear? And I saw this little item about, during the pandemic, nudism in Europe has ticked up. And they were talking about why that could be, and I thought, wouldn't that be interesting if that was happening here in the Bible Belt? And so then you have to call up, you have to find nudists, naturalists, and say, hey, I'm interested in what you're doing, and are you seeing an increase in folks wanting to be nudists? And so made those calls, and many calls, because they weren't returning the calls. He had to keep call. Every time I was in the car, I'd press the button and call one of the places. And eventually I did talk to folks and they were like, well, yes, indeed. We're up about 300%. So then that became a story about my first story in terms of, okay, this is an interesting world. I'll participate. I'll go to a couple nudist events and then write about that, write about what the experience is like and write about who I find there. And then that opened up more relationships. And so once you deliver on the angle, boom, it's a story the world's got to have. And then you deliver on the actual piece, like, hey, this is a readable, fun piece. Then you can get back into the flow of like editors believing in you and giving you stuff.
And I see that with Our State Magazine, which, by the way, you know, we're very proud of our State Magazine here in North Carolina. It's one of those things I hope never goes fully digital.
Oh, thank you for saying that. They work really
hard. And you've
got
quite a catalog on there of the experiences that you've had to date. What's been the most significant to you, or what's moved you the most?
There's so many times you go and you talk to somebody and that person all of a sudden feels like they can open up and share things. And Our State gave me an assignment for a concert pianist who lives in Lumberton and who was also repairing Wurlitzer organs. That was the assignment from my editor there, who's terrific. Mark Kemp is a great writer in his own right. And so I went down there and I was sitting with Mark Anderson, the concert pianist, and you know, you want to get to know somebody, you ask questions about, get to ask questions you don't normally ask. Like, oh, let's talk about your, where were you born? What was your childhood like? What were your favorite things to do as a kid? Just looking for angles. And I asked him about his mother, and he gasped. You know, he started telling me about his mother, and then there was a hitch in his throat, and he started quietly sobbing, and he pulled himself back together. Well, the whole Wurlitzer thing goes right out his window at that time. Like, we'll talk about Wurlitzers someday, some way, but not now. So let's talk about your mom. And then he opened up this amazing story, which all unfolded in Lumberton over these different decades of how his mother, he wanted to be a pianist. His mother indulged him. His mother got very ill and had to go to a sanitarium to get better, leaving him with his father, who was totally against the music. And how, as a little boy, playing that music connected him with his missing mother, despite his father being totally against it. He has a big career. He goes to New York, becomes a concert pianist, does shows up at Radio City Music Hall, becomes their music director. All the time estranged from his father. And then eventually the father comes back around and you learn why the father was so against it. The father wasn't just a villain, right? Because a great thing about this, what I get to do is like really find out there's really no such thing as villains except in like Star Wars and Disney. Everybody has reasons. Mm-hmm. And to be able to say then, you've read this story and you've gone 1,200 words and you think the dad is the bad guy, but no, and there's a reveal. That's just an enormously satisfying experience for me as a storyteller and then for the readers. And that got a huge response from people who don't care necessarily about pianists, don't care about Wurlitzers, don't care about Lumberton, but we care about people and we care about stories that we can relate to from the heart.
And that is so relatable too, right? Because for most people growing up, their parents are a mystery, right? They're perfect and infallible, but we're all human beings, and you look back, or you know, as you get older, you're like, okay, I get it. You know, you can kind of understand it. Like you said, like the way you put it, it's like they're not villains. They're just people, and people make mistakes and have reasons for why they do what they did. You mentioned that got a big response. What are some other things that have gotten a big response where you wrote about it and you're like, whoa, this is a big topic?
Well, the story where I became a drag performer for one night and I trained with a couple of accomplished drag queens. They became my drag mothers. It's what's called in the business. When veteran drag queens take a drag baby under their wing, I actually trained with them and performed with them That got a huge response. Some very positive, like, oh, thank you for sharing what it's like to, mm-hmm. to do that. And then some heavy pushback on that, like that people who didn't agree with the whole idea of drag. Mm-hmm. I ended up talking about that on some national different media productions because they were very interested in how that would play in the South and how what the reaction mm-hmm. Would be like. For me, the funniest thing about that story was going to my drag mother's house and finding it to be the most perfect Leave It to Beaver house in their neighborhood. Like it was the best lawn. They had the best holiday decorations. They had totally embraced suburbia, and yet to some folks they were in some way villains, which you know, I got to hopefully show that they're not villains at all. In fact, let me show you what their life is like. It's going to surprise you. Mm. That element of surprise is a big deal and a wonderful thing to get to share.
That's got to be just really exciting, just getting to do that. And then deciding how you want to share it with people, right? I mean, your writing is a craft for sure. It's an art. And taking what you've observed, what you've experienced, internalizing it, computing it in your mind, and then pouring it out for people. And, you know, here's how it moved me. You know, as people read it, they themselves can take it and take what they can, take of it what they can and what they will, and let that influence them. And as you say, it all comes down to people.
Right? It does. And you, what you just said is so true. It's such a journey to take that stuff and then try to figure it out and how to present it in a way that's not biased, that invites people in, that lets everyone have the experience, and then they mm-hmm. can make their own decision about it. But it's a big responsibility, and it's a huge amount of fun. I'm really grateful to get to do it.
Okay. We don't have much time. In 30 seconds, please tell us. You're also a musician on top of this. Tell us about Billy Warden and the Floating Children.
The Floating Children are North Carolina's thrift shop, glam rock, circus of sound. Since 1986, we've been together. Yeah, churning out the glam rock hits. We're not accomplished enough to do covers, so we have to do all original material. Mm-hmm. And I try to keep in shape so we can put on the big shows still. And you're going to have a pass, Mike, to the next one. And Jason, you're going to have a pass to the next one. And we are going to party.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So how can people find out about what you're doing, including the Floating Children?
Thank you. I'm on Facebook, just Billy Warden. I'm on Twitter, just Billy Warden. LinkedIn, Billy Warden. And my website, which I need to update, and I will, is wardenprojects.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I wish we had more time. I knew I was going to say this. I wish we had a lot more time. That means we're going to have you back on.
Okay.
Perhaps we'll figure out a way of doing a live show from one of your performances. Thanks so much to Billy Warden for being our guest today. Folks, we are out of time. I want to thank Jason Kong for production. Thank you for listening. This is Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. This has been AARP Without Limits. We'll see you next time.